Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're back to all your phone calls in just a few minutes. But right now, our next guest is Seth Joyner, Kyle.
Yeah, sponsored by Bet Parks every weekend. The double the spread boost for all users on one pro football game. Check the Bet Parks app Friday. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how you doing, buddy?
Seth.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Well, Seth, we're excited to talk to you.
We are a house divided today, Seth.
Yeah, we are. Seth, we're curious. Well, all right, where do you
come? Joe, talking crazy?
No, well, I don't know about that. Maybe you could decide. Seth, where do you come down on? So, like, I think Jalen is playing well. He's doing a good job in his role. But it does feel like, in terms of, is he the driving force of this, or is he more along for the ride? Like, where do you come down on how Jalen's playing, what they're asking him to do?
Well, listen, man, I don't understand all of this apprehension about Jalen. Jalen's proven that he can get it done when he needs to get it done. You just got to look at, you know, every single year the team is wired and built differently. You know, you go out and you get Saquon Barkley to go behind, you know, arguably the best offensive line in the National Football League, okay? You struggle the first couple of weeks in a new offense, and then you make the move and say, okay, hey, we're gonna lean on this offensive line, and we're going to lean on Saquon Barkley. And then you begin to have massive success with it, okay? When Jalen needs to be efficient, he is more than capable and more than efficient in getting the job done. On those last two drives in the first half last week, they asked him to throw the football. He was 7 for 8, 86 yards, a passing touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. Now, in the second half, they only asked him to throw the football twice, you know, twice. So what do you want him to do when he's being asked to play the game the way he needs to play the game? And let's not forget, let's not lose sight of the fact, you know, of how well he's played when he's needed to throw the football, okay? So if they're wired differently and they're built differently, what more do you want from Jalen as a quarterback when you know that he can get it done when he needs to get it done, but the initiative and the identity of the football team right now is a rushing football team?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I don't want him to change it. I mean, Hugh, as long as they're winning, let's keep this formula going.
And that's the thing. There's going to be a time, and it might be this season, might be in the playoffs, where Jalen is going to have to do exactly what you want him to do. And I think that the more that we have comfort in this running game, the easier it's going to be for him to make those plays when they're called upon. That's what I'm thinking. What do you think, Seth, about that?
Well, you can always listen. A team who all they can do is throw the ball, at some point in time, a defense is going to devise a way to stop it, okay? But the team that can run the football, the whole playbook is open to play action pass, misdirections, whatever, you know. You can do whatever you want to do, you know? So my thing is, are we hell-bent on Jalen throwing for 300 yards every week? Are we hell-bent on what he calls the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing, and that's winning, okay? Do we want our quarterback to throw for 300 yards and lose a game, or do we want our quarterback to throw for 200 yards or 180 yards and we win the game?
I'll take the latter.
Yeah, well, that's an easy one. We want to win the game. It's worked. I mean, that's what Sunday was, right? You said it. The first half, he threw a little more. They got a lead, and then they ran the clock out because they got it all working right now. And, Seth, this works for two reasons. One, the run game, but two, that defense. Seth, let's talk about the defense. It's just every week I keep watching, and every week I'm more impressed by it. Seth, the game and what they did to Lamar and Derrick Henry on Sunday, what stood out to you watching it? Because this was the most explosive offense they were going up against, and the Ravens had 12 points with, you know, a minute to go in the game.
Well, listen, the defensive front is dominant, okay? They're generating pass rush for a group of guys that we all had reservations on whether the guys, especially on the edge, whether they could actually get home. They're dominating in the middle. I don't know how many times they got to hold Jalen Carter and Milton Williams for those referees to drop them flags and start doing what's right. And then on the backside, the linebackers in the secondary, they're just on a rope. You know, in the first half, Lamar had success because, you know, they had a little bit of success running the ball. They went a little bit of play action passes. And even though, you know, Vic had him in a lot of zone coverages because he wanted to keep his eyes on Lamar, you know, just in case he got out of the pocket, they weren't getting enough depth in their drops to take away those routes that, you know, those tight end routes and routes they were running behind them. In the second half, once they got a little bit of a lead and they started to really clamp down on Derrick Henry, now all of a sudden they were getting better depth and they were breaking up on ball. They were playing from deep to short rather than, you know, biting up on the close stuff because they were so concerned about the run. And it just changed the entire dynamic, you know, of the game in the second half. And I'm telling you, man, these young players, Cooper Dejean, Quinyon Mitchell, these linebackers are leading the team every week in tackles the way that it's supposed to be. They're taking turns leading the team in tackles each week, but they're 1 and 2 each and every single week. I don't think they really lose anything by having Rodgers in there at cornerback, and, you know, while Darius is injured. And the safeties are playing. Everybody's just playing well. They're tied on a string. And Vic and the defensive coaching staff, you've got to give them credit. Because when you got young players, the hardest thing to do is to get them all on the same page. Everybody knows what the heck they're doing. Because, you know, all you need is for one guy to be out of position.
Yeah, and it's
one
all
guy
it's
to
a
make
wrap.
A mistake.
Yeah.
And it can be a wrap, you know. But they're playing on a string. They're tied in together. They're synced together. And, listen, I love Saquon, but that defense was the dominant factor in that game last week. And to be able to go to Baltimore and do that to one of the most elite quarterbacks that we've ever seen and one of the most dominant running backs that we've ever seen and hold them both below their season averages for the number one ranked offense in yardage per game, come on, man. Come on. For a young defense, and guess what? They just scratching the surface of how great and how good they can potentially be.
Well, that's great to hear, because if they get better from here, that's going to be the best defense in the league, hopefully for a long time. Seth, you mentioned that run game with Saquon Barkley. Down the stretch here, Seth, if the Eagles are in position where, let's say the last week or two of the season, they know their seeding. Maybe they'll be one, maybe they'll be two, but they kind of know where they're going to be. Seth, how would you handle it in terms of Saquon potentially going for the rushing record? Is this something they should let him try to do, or, you know, in the last week, do they have to kind of back off and try to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs? How would you handle that, Seth?
Joe, I'm an old school guy, man. You know what? I only got 16, 17 games to play a year. Don't rest me. I got the offseason to rest, okay? So if I got the offseason to rest, let's play football. When you start trying to protect players from injuries and the talk around the locker room and around the organization is about injuries, you bring about what you talk about. Stop talking about it. Let him play. He says he's in the best shape that he's ever been in, that he's prepared himself for this. Let him play the game. Now, when you get these games, like if they get in a situation this week and he got his numbers, you know, and you roll into the fourth quarter, now you sit him, you know. But if the game is on the line, you know, let football players play football. That's what you're paying them to do. You can't protect players from injuries because things happen. Yeah, things just happen in a game. You know, it can be, you know, the most menial thing that happens that you're running and all of a sudden, you know, you hurt a calf muscle. Nobody even touched you and you got injured, you know. Sometimes it's just like that, but you can't play that way. I've never went into a game or played a game thinking or worrying about an injury. And I very rarely got injured. And I think that should be the approach.
Well, we'll see how the Eagles do it, but something tells me they're going to let this guy try to set a record and do something special. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk hopefully after another win over the Panthers. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one.
All right, Jeff.
There you go. Seth Joyner with us in his weekly spot there. All right, so Seth.